Singing shout and touch the Lord as he passes by.
As
welcome the minister,
second
service. Is not too busy. To hear my ask. He's passing by this moment. All my needs to supply. Passing by this moment. All my needs to supply. And touch the Lord.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
Shall we sing it one more time?
Reach out and touch the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you very much this morning once again for the gift of life, that Lord, we can rise up this day, the first day of the week, a memorial of the resurrection, to be gathered together at your feet to fellowship, Lord, with thee and with one another. You've told us in your word that where two or three are gathered together in your name, Lord, you are present in the midst of them. Heavenly Father, we are holding you to that promise this morning. May your presence, oh God, be in our midst today. Heavenly Father, even as you have started with us, may you continue with us for the rest of the service. We commit this portion into your hands. Your prophet taught us that anybody that has been to school can take the Bible and read, but take the Holy Ghost, the inspirer of the word, to take the same old God and bring it to our hearts and meet the need of every soul. So we are praying this morning, may you, Lord, come down our way, and even as we are singing, oh God, as we reach out to you, may you come and meet us our various points of need. I pray that if there be any that are sick and afflicted here, you are God that healeth all our sickness and our diseases. I pray that, Lord, reach out to them. Let your virtue reach out to them. Touch them, Lord, and heal them. Heavenly Father, if there are some here, whatever the desire on the heart, looking for a job, looking for a husband, looking for a wife, whatever it is, oh my Lord and my God, you are God that supplied all our needs according to your riches in glory through Christ Jesus. May you come and meet the need of every heart this morning. Bless your word to our hearts. We pray this believing in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God richly bless you all. And glad once again to be here this morning. So greetings from Pastor David. Those of you that were not here last Friday, he sends his greetings to you. The officers of the church send their greetings to you. And this morning we are happy to be here,
to
be in the service of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, that's the only honorable job. Hallelujah. Forget about all the politicians and honorable and honorable. The only honorable thing in this world is to be a child of God and to be serving God all of your life. So why standing on our feet? We'll go back to Luke chapter 2 and we'll read from verse 25. We read that scripture last, we'll read just verse 25. Amen. Luke chapter 2 verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him.
Kíyèsí ọkùnrin kan wà ní Jerusalemu, orúkọ rẹ̀ a máa jẹ́ Simeoni. Ọkùnrin náà sì ṣe olóòótọ́ àti olùfọkànsìn. Òun retí ìtùnú Israẹli, ẹ̀mí mọ́ sì balẹ̀.
The Lord bless the reading of his word, shall be seated.
Kíkarọ rẹ̀ jẹ́ àjókòó.
Amen.
Amen.
So once again, God bless you. And thank you for making it to the service this morning. Last Friday, we read from that same scripture. And I preached on living with expectation. I didn't get through my message on account of time. But that is not what I want to speak on this morning. I want to speak on the consolation of the bride of Jesus Christ. The consolation of the bride of Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I trust that we will all be blessed. Hallelujah. As we hear the word of God, that is what comforts us. That is what encourages us. That when all else is failing, God's word never fails. And so we always turn back to the word. And this morning we want to look at that, because the word of God is inspired. Hallelujah. Every time you read that same scripture, God has a way of speaking to your heart. And so this morning I want to speak on the consolation of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Christ Jesus has a bride. Hallelujah. In John chapter 14 verse 1 to 3, said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe ye in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be there also. So as we live our life in this generation, we all have that expectation that Christ is coming back to take us home. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2, Paul said, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I've exposed you to one husband. And so Christ has a bride. And we are speaking to that bride this morning. The consolation for that bride. And we want to take the inspiration from what Simeon was saying. Even though he was living an expectation, he was also looking forward to the consolation of Israel. Hallelujah. So Christ has got a bride. And I believe that bride of Christ has been consoled in this our age. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So the scripture we read, hallelujah, talks about Simeon waiting for the consolation of Israel. And if you go to the dictionary and you look for the word consolation, it defines it as a comfort that is received because a person has lost something or a person has been disappointed. So you console somebody who might have lost a loved one and their lowest point in their life. That is when you console them. Somebody may be looking for a job, write interview after interview, write application after application, go for interview every now and all of a sudden they get a letter with regret, and then they get disappointed, and so you console such a one. Hallelujah. So consolation, the dictionary says, is a comfort received by a person after a loss or disappointment. So the question we ask ourselves, why was Simeon waiting for the consolation of Israel? Israel, the prince of God, Israel, God's chosen people. Let's read a few scriptures and see Israel. These are the descendants of Abraham. And they should not be the people that need a consolation. But they've gotten to a point in their life, something that everything was all right. But Simeon, being spiritual and knew where Israel was and knew how Israel began, and he looked at Israel in the day that he was living in, he knew that something has been lost, that Israel was not what it ought to be. And so he was looking forward to consolation. In Genesis chapter 12, we are acquainted with that scripture. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. When God called Abraham, he told Abraham, I will make a great nation of thee. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. In Genesis 13 and verse 15, God told Abraham, for all the land which you see, to thee will I give to you and your seed forever. In Genesis chapter 17, and Abraham was 90 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Hallelujah. And when we go to verse 3, or let me continue, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, say, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abraham, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, between thy seed after thee, in their generation, for an everlasting covenant. So these are the people of God. Praise the name of the Lord. These are the people of God that God has chosen. Oh, hallelujah. A prince of God. And we all know how the name Israel came about. When Jacob wrestled with the Lord, the angel of the Lord and prevailed. So you no longer be called Jacob, a supplanter, but you be called Israel, a prince of God. So the question is that why would I praise the God? Why would the people of God? Why would they need consolation? What have they lost in their lives? You meet people in this world, they may be associated with a politician, they may be somebody in high power, and the way they carry themselves, hallelujah, as if they have need of nothing in this world. But these are the people of the Almighty God, the God who created the heavens and the earth. So you should think that they should lack nothing. Praise the Lord. They should lack nothing. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, if we read from verse 6, God speaking through Moses to Israel, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. If we go to verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and his commandments to 1,000 generations. A generation is 40 years. So if you talk about 1,000 generations, you're talking about 4,000 years. So that is how long God keeps his commandments. So he gives a promise to Abraham. I have chosen you. You are special people unto me. You are above all the nations of the earth. Unto 1,000 generations. And yet here was Simeon. Wait for the consolation of Israel. What has Israel lost? Hallelujah. When you look at all the promises that God has given to Abraham, hallelujah, what have they lost? They are precious in the eyes of the Lord. We know God will always keep his word. Man's word will fail, but God will always keep his word. I will keep it unto 1,000 generations. Praise the name of the Lord. But here was Simeon waiting for the consolation of Israel. When God has given all these promises, we read to Israel, we read about to Abraham in Genesis 22. If we read from verse 15, when God tried Abraham, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, fear the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sun that is upon the seashore, and thy seed, and Abraham your seed, shall possess the gates of the enemy. So Israel should be a happy nation. They should be a happy bunch of people, because God has promised them that they will possess the gates of the enemy. Yet the Bible said Simeon was waiting for the consolation. His mind could go back and see how Israel started, how God was with them. When God brought them out of the land of Egypt, hallelujah, he told them this in Exodus chapter 3. He said, and the Lord said, verse 7, I have seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of the attack masters. I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land, unto a land, good land, a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, if you are an Israelite, You ought to pride yourself. You ought to rejoice yourself. Because this is the God Almighty. The one who said, let there be light. And there was light. The one that created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. But by his spoken way, he was the God of Israel. They should rejoice. He set honors before them. Hallelujah. Destroyed the enemies before them. When the Red Sea was there, he was the one that came down and parted the Red Sea. And they walked on dry ground. And when the enemy was trying to come, oh, he swallowed up the Egyptians in the Red Sea. When they got to Jordan, and Jordan was overflowing, he was the one that parted Jordan for them. When Jericho was on the way and they had walls around it, it was he who pulled down the walls of Jericho. So if there is anything, Israel ought to be rejoicing, not to be sad, not to be lonely, not to just feel, oh, what is happening to me? They ought to be rejoicing. Yes, the scripture says Simeon was waiting to be consoled. Think about it for a minute. The people of God, the one that God has fought their battles for them. And so when Jericho even heard they were coming, they confided in the two spies. This, our men are all afraid. We have heard what God did in Israel, Egypt. Oh, the plague that came upon the Egyptians. The final plague of death that killed the firstborn of all creation in Egypt. We know how God is on your side. Praise the name of the Lord. People heard the testimony. They heard the testimony about Israel. The God of Israel. How God has never forsaken them. They heard the testimonies about Abraham. They heard the testimonies about Isaac. They heard the testimonies about Jacob. They heard the testimony about Joseph. How God blessed them when they were even in Egypt. And all that God has been doing for Israel. They should walk with their shoulders high. Because their God was the God of the universe. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. They've seen the power of God. When they needed water, God brought water out of the rock. When the water was bitter, he sweetened the waters. When they needed meat, oh, he rained meat for them. When they needed manna, he rained manna for them. That was the God of Israel. And if you serve that living God today, there's no reason for you to be sad. There's no reason for you to be mournful. There's no reason for you to think that, oh, what is happening? That God is still alive today. That God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never changed. He is still with his people even today. Praise the name of the Lord. The God of Elijah is here. Hallelujah. I say the God of Elijah is here. The God of Isaiah is here. The God of Jeremiah is here. The God of William Brown is here. The God of Paul is here. The God of Peter is here. And he's the same yesterday, today, forever. His ways have never changed. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen and amen. They believed in their God. And their God was always with them. Oh, when Jericho came in the way, you know, God doesn't go around problems. God doesn't go around problems. He faces it head on. So when the walls of Jericho was in the way, he didn't bypass it, but he brought the walls down. Oh, hallelujah. Whatever your challenge is, oh, just believe God today. Just believe Jehovah today that that God is still alive. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you until the end of the age. Praise the Lord. So Israel had walked with God. They've seen his power when they were in Egypt. When Pharaoh would not let them go. One plague after the other. One plague after the other. Until he broke the resolve of Pharaoh. Say, just take your people and go. They saw his power when they walked through the wilderness. How he destroyed nations before them. Whenever they had a challenge and they cried unto God, God always came down in a supernatural way. Hallelujah. So they were conversant with God. It wasn't a historical God. He was the ever-present rock. The ever-present rock. The rock that followed them. That is what Paul said. The rock followed them and supplied their needs. And that God is still with us today. All you have to do is only believe. Only believe. Because all things are possible. Amen. But when you come to serve the Lord, he lays down his word. And when you are serving the Lord, you have to serve him according to his word, according to his precepts, according to his laid down way. It's not what your imagination says. It's not what my imagination says. But what God has laid down, we need to live by God's infallible way. Praise the Lord. So having followed the Lord, God having brought them out of bondage, taking them to the promised land, before they enter the promised land, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it shall come to pass, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I Moses have commanded you, that the Lord will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. So even though they were called of God, even though God has chosen them, hallelujah, he gave them his word. He gave them a condition. If you hearken diligently unto my voice, and if you observe to do all my commandments, which Moses, my prophet, had commanded you, hallelujah, then the Lord will set thee above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if you only hearken to the voice of God. So before they enter the promised land, before they enter the land that God has promised to Abraham, yes, God has delivered them from the bondage of sin. God has delivered them from the bondage in Egypt. God has opened the Red Sea before them. God has destroyed the heat and the Amorites and all the enemies before them. But he gave them his way. The land that you are going in, yes, I promise it to Abraham. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, there will be abundance for you. Oh, hallelujah, the fruit of the land. You remember Numbers 13? Not through 16? When they came with the fruit, the Bible said two people carried a bag of grain. Not the small grapes they sell in the supermarket, but two people carried a bunch of grapes, and they knew that what God had said concerning the land, it was real, it was true. They had the evidence of the land. So they were really going to a land flowing with milk and honey. And God said, I will go before thee. I will send my angel before thee. And all of it God has been doing. But before they entered the promised land, before they went to settle in the promised land, God through Moses said, if only you will hearken unto the voice of God, hallelujah, and observe to do all his commandments, which I have commanded thee, that the Lord will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. It doesn't matter how big the nation is. It doesn't matter the superpower they have. God said, I will set you above all the nations of the earth. That was the promise of the living God to his people. As long as they hearken to his voice. Hallelujah. He has told Abraham, your seed shall possess the gate of the enemy. So as long as they hearken to his voice, as long as they walk in the presence of God's word, the word that God gave to Abraham, that Abraham walked in, that Abraham traveled in, as long as they kept that word, then God has promised them, I will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee, and the blessings will overtake you. We serve that living God today. I say we serve that same God today. Oh, if the children of God in this our day, if the believing children of God in this our day, if we will hearken to the voice of God. Remember, Moses was the voice of God to them. In that day that they were living in, Moses was the voice of God to them. Just like Noah was the voice of God to his generation. Hallelujah. Surely the Lord God will do no thing, nothing, but he revealed his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Hallelujah. So if God has got anything to say to every one of us, he will always raise a prophet. I'm not talking about those that we see on the billboards. Hallelujah. But one that is born a prophet, like God told Jeremiah, and before you came here, before you were for conceiving your mother, I ordained you a prophet, a prophet unto the nation. Before Moses was born, he was ordained a prophet to be the deliverer. Praise the Lord. He was the voice of God today. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the fields. Blessed shall thy shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. All was dependent on hearing and hearkening to the voice of God. Verse 7, the Lord shall cause thy enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and they shall flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command a blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand to do. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Oh, hallelujah! This was God's promise to them. You are going to the promised land. The land that I have taken myself. The land that I promised your father Abraham. The land that I promised to your forefathers. I, the Lord, I am going to give that land to you. And as you are going to the land, this is the way I am going to bless you. Look, we serve that same living God today. And he said, but if only you keep my commandments, if only you keep my word, then all of these blessings, hallelujah, they will be yours. Verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground. I have a little farm in Ghana, and I tell people, when I bought the land to do the farming, a farmland, when I bought the land to do the farming, I went to the pastor in the local area. We walked through the land and we prayed about it before we started doing anything. And so people pass around these days. And then how come that your fruits are always green? How come that everything you plant are always like that? Oh, hallelujah. But that is the promise of God. Hallelujah. In the fruit of thy ground, and in the land with the Lord swore to your fathers, he said he will bless it. And when we commit our ways to the Lord, the Lord will always bless it. Oh, hallelujah. So that was Israel, the promises of God to Israel. Verse 12, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. Oh, does that remind you of Malachi chapter 3? Say, I will open the windows. I will open the windows. And I will pour out my treasure. And you will not have enough room to receive it. Because you are keeping my word. Because as you keep God's word, that is the only condition. Just walk in my way. Just keep my word. And all of these blessings, they will be yours. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, and the heavens shall give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hands. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, not to your neighbor, but you will lend to nations. I want that to sink into your heart. Say, you will lend unto nations. Oh, hallelujah. And shall not borrow. But this was God's word to them. Before they are entering the promised land, say, this is the way I will bless you. As long as you hearken to my voice, as long as you walk by my word, the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. I used to live in UK, and then there was an opportunity to come to Ghana to work. So they invited me. I came for the interview. And then those on the panel were asking me, so where do you see yourself in 5 years? And the department I was coming to work in, the head of the department was also on that panel. So I said, in 5 years' time, I see myself sitting on that side of the table and interviewing others. It looks like it didn't go well to the head of the department. So along the line, by God's grace, within 6 months, 7 months, June, July, August, September, October, November, within 7 months, in January of 2012, I was asked to take over that department. And then something happened along the line. And so this head of department, who has moved, have been moved to a different department, we were talking. And say, you Isaac at all, even before you came to this company, you were eyeing my job. Praise the Lord. Look, we need to claim the word for ourselves. You need to believe the word and claim the word for yourself. The Lord, this is your promise. Praise the name of the Lord. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou will hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command this day to observe. So I can see Simeon. He read this same scripture that we read. He knew what God was doing for Israel. He knew how Israel was above all. He knew how God was fighting the battles for Israel. But at the time Simeon was living in, the God who told them, this is the way I will bless you, that same God also told them from verse 15, and it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command in this day, that this cursing shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So if you read the verses that follow, God told Israel what will happen to them if they don't hearken to his voice, if they don't walk by the princes of the elders, if they don't walk by the tradition that the elders have received of God. What was going to happen to them? Verse 25. And the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thy enemies. And what God told them, that he will bless them, that when their enemy come against them one way, the enemy will flee in seven ways. Look at what God is telling them now. That shall go one way against them, and you will flee in seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Yes, I know I have promised the land to you. Hallelujah. I promised to Abraham and to his seed after him. But as you go into this land, if you don't hearken to my voice, these curses will come upon you. And worst of all, I will remove you from the land into all the kingdoms of the earth. Hallelujah. So whatever God gave to them, it was conditional to they upholding the word of God. Hallelujah. And we serve that same God today. How, if God is going to bless us today, we have to first and foremost uphold his word in our lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. That is the first and foremost thing. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Our God has immeasurable treasures. All we've got to do is to believe it. But now we don't see the blessings of God. Because you know why? Our hands are always like that. So when God is ready to give, we are not ready to receive. Because we have always closed our hands. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Open your hand, be a cheerful giver, and see the blessings of God in your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God for the job I do. Often tell people, I only see myself as a conduit, as a channel that God can use to bless others. I mean material. Hallelujah. Just be generous. Hallelujah. And God will never forget you. Hallelujah. Don't give because you think that sister will give back to you, or that brother will give back to you. Jesus said that heathens do the same thing. Give expecting nothing back. Amen. So they got to the land.
You don't know what they land.
God destroyed all the enemies around them. They possessed all the land. They settled in the land. And when they settled in the land, instead of keeping their eye on the west, hallelujah, instead of keeping their eye on the west, they started looking at the nations around them. So in 1 Samuel chapter 8, the Bible says from verse 4, the elders of Israel gathered themselves together. And they came to Samuel unto Ramah and said, behold, you are old, and your sons walk not in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. When they settled in the land, the God of Israel, the God that has brought them out of Egypt, the God that has conquered all their enemies before them, the God that was constantly providing for them, they started looking at the nations. They started looking at the nations around them. Instead of they being the standard bearers, they were looking at the nations as their standard bearer. And if you are a child of God, you were a son of God, you were a daughter of God, the word is supposed to be our standard. The world out there is not our standard. Praise the Lord. Today, they see the sister or the people out there, they make their hair do in a certain way. And then before you know, sisters are also beginning to copy them. Or they sew their dress in a certain way. Before you know, we are beginning to also sew our dresses that way. We are not to become copycats of the world. The world out there is not the standard for the believer. Hallelujah. The Christian is supposed to be the standard for the world out there. We are not to conform to the world. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, otherwise they won't come to church. Then let them not come to church. If the word of God will drive somebody away, let the word drive them away. Hallelujah. We must be here because we love the word. Because we love God and His word. Don't be here because daddy is here. Don't be here because mama is here. But be here because you have your own revelation. Praise the name of the Lord. They started to look at the nations. They wanted to be like the nations. God has not called you to be like the nations. And that is why there's no power in the denominational churches today. Because they are bringing programs into the church to keep the youth entertained. I say, if the word of God cannot draw your attention, if the word of God cannot catch your attention, I don't know what else. Because the programs of the world, the things of the world, they will all pass. As long as the music is going, they are all dancing. When the music stops, then their Christianity stops. Oh God, have mercy. Amen. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations. And Samuel pleaded with them. Say, no, please don't do it. We don't want to go that way. God has been our king. God has been our ruler. We don't want to go that way. Samuel told them all that the king would do to them. Verse 19. After they've heard all that Samuel have told them, they said, nevertheless. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. Remember, the voice of Samuel was the voice of God to them in that day. They said no, but we'll have a king that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go before us and fight our battles. They forgot about God, the God that fought their battles for them. In Egypt, they forgot the God that fought their battles for them. When they came to the Red Sea, and here were the armies of Egypt coming. If you watch the movie The Ten Commandments, you hear what Pharaoh said. Say, God is a poor general. He has not left them a way to retreat. God does not retreat. Our God does not retreat. He's always marching forward. Where there's no way, he will make a way. Praise the Lord. You know what, I cannot stand on this own. Water will need a wall, a glass, a bowl, something. But that day, the waters form a wall of a guard. They form a guard of honor. I said the waters form a guard of honor. Because the children of God, the children of the Most High, were passing through. Oh, hallelujah! That God is still alive today. He fought their battles for them. And yet they said they wanted a king. And the first battle that came, when they elected the king, he ran away. Because when Goliath was coming, everybody was running away. They elected the king to fight their battles for them. And yet when the Philistines came, they had a very wise proposition. We don't want to shed enough blood. So pick one person, and I will also come. If I defeat that person, we'll rule over you. If you defeat me, you will rule over us. But that first battle, Saul was nowhere to be found. Because the battle is the Lord's. It's not, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And it takes God to fight our battles for us. Amen and amen. Saul ran away. But there was somebody who had been at the backside, who had had experience with God, who knew that God is still alive. He knew that he's still Jehovah God, that he's still with his people. When the whole of Israel were suffering from amnesia, they didn't, they have forgotten who they were. But David had not forgotten. He said, look, the lion came. I smote the lion. The bear came. I smote the bear. He knew that it was not by his own strength, but it was by the power of the living God. Because he was keeping the word of God, he possessed the gate. But when the rest of Israel were not keeping the word, they couldn't. They said, we want to be like the rest of the world. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, say we should not conform to the world. We should not conform to the world. The world is not your standard, sister. Young man, the world is not your standard. Young woman, the world is not your standard. Our standard is the word of God. Church, we have not been called to look like any other denomination. We have been called to be the people of God, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That is what we have been called to be, the people of God. When Abraham walked with God, he had to separate himself from his country of all the idol worship. He had to leave his family. He had to leave his father's house. He had to leave everything behind. And remember, God's word, like the prophet preached, always calls for total separation from every unbelief. Abraham had to leave everything behind. Even when he had empathy and took Lot along. Hallelujah. The Bible said, let's go to Hallelujah, Genesis chapter 15. If we want to follow the Lord, we have to follow him to the letter of his word. Genesis chapter 13,
verse 14.
Praise the name of the Lord. Are you with me? We are talking about the consolation. I want you to see where Israel was and why Simon was sad. Simeon was sad. Why he could recall those days. He could recall the power of Israel, the power of God that fought the nations, that parted the Red Sea, that destroyed the Jebusites, that destroyed the Hivites, the Amorites, that brought down the was of Jericho. Simeon could remember those times. He was looking at Israel with the Roman as their governor. The people of God. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after Lot was separated, because when God called Abraham, say, leave your country, leave your kindred, leave your father's house. But Abraham took Lot along. So it was not a total separation. God bless brother George Martin. He made this statement and it struck me. Say, Abraham took Lot along. And at times we take a lot of things. And when you take a lot of things along this Christian journey, the blessings of God doesn't come. Until you are totally separated. Hallelujah. So after Lot was separated from him, God told Abraham, lift up your eyes. Look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Praise the name of the Lord. That was the promise of God to them. Oh, hallelujah. But what has happened down the ages? Because they drifted from the way. First the Babylonians came. And they were all taken into captivity. After the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians came. And they were still in captivity. After the Medo-Persians, the Greeks came. And they were still in captivity. After the Greeks, the Romans came. And at the time of Simeon, the Romans had jurisdiction. Acts chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Oh, blessed be his holy name. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. And when they were come together, they asked the Lord, saying, Lord, would thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Hallelujah. So Israel, the prince of God, the people of God, the chosen of God, hallelujah, from that high pedestal that God has placed them, as long as they kept his word, because they wanted to model themselves, they wanted, they begin to conform to the things what the nations were doing, it became Ichabod. The glory of God departed. Hallelujah. The glory of God left them. And they didn't even know. They were still priding themselves. But God was no longer with them. They have fallen to a low estate. And to the nations that God has promised that they will destroy them. Now these nations are ruling over them. And when Simon thought of it,
He was sad.
He
needed a consolation. Why have the people of God fallen so low? Why have they fallen so down? Oh my goodness, where are they? Oh, the God that destroyed the Hivites, the God that destroyed the Jebusites, the God that parted the Red Sea. Oh, Samuel will say, where is the God of Abraham? Didn't you, God, say we shall possess the gate of Israel? But Simon first, when he looked at what was happening, can you throw Mark chapter 7 for us? That was how far Israel had drifted. They came unto him, the Pharisees, and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled hands, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. Look, it's not my hygienic to wash your hands before you eat. But that shouldn't be a doctrine. But they've fallen so far away that the washing of hands have even become a doctrine in the church. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands, they eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And if that isn't where the word of Christendom is today, you tell somebody the Bible says repent and be baptized by immersion, just like the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, for the remission of your sins. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, our church, that is not what you do. It's holding the tradition of elders, which was not the word of God, which had drifted away from the word. Oh, you meet people. You meet a woman preacher. So the Holy Ghost has anointed me. And you tell them, but Paul said, let the women keep silent in the church. So the God has anointed me. That the Holy Ghost, it is the genuine Holy Ghost, it will be subject to the word. It will obey the word that he inspired others to write it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Several years ago, like I said, I grew up in the church of Pentecost. Several years ago, there was a question, and they were asking the general secretary of the church of Pentecost on national radio in Ghana. Oh, that today we see that some of your women come to church and they wear trousers. You know what the general secretary said? So the world has moved on. There's development. And he was citing Princess Diana and Hillary Clinton. These are people that occupy and they wear pants and trousers. So it's all right. And I thought, my, how the church has drifted. The Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy that it's an abomination for a woman to wear that which pertains to a man. Today, people want to put on lipstick just like the world. They want to paint their fingernails just like the world. They want to even shave their eyebrows. Hallelujah. And paint it something. They even take their eyelashes and put something there. So they use the word make. You make up something. When that something is not perfect, then you make it up. So indirectly, they are telling God, God, you didn't make me perfect. You didn't give me the correct fingernails. You didn't give me the correct lip color. So let me get some red one. You know when they put a red lip, he said, danger, stay away from me. Hallelujah.
We are not to copy the world. The Bible says, women, dress yourself in modest apparel. But look at the fashions of the world today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They wear dresses and they will cut it all the way down here to expose their breasts. Half of their back, they say, show me my shoulder. I mean, what a field in the world today. Praise the Lord. But the Bible says, women be dressed in modest apparel. You know why God gave her clothing? Go to Genesis. When they sinned, they realized that they were naked. So when God gave them the clothing, it was to cover their nakedness. That is what clothing is for. To cover our nakedness. But look at the world in which we live today. The devil is making them expose their nakedness. Let's go back to Mark chapter 7. The tradition of the elders. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go to that. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. Many other things they be, which they have received to hold, as of washing of calves, pots, brazen vessels, and tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders? You thought these were Pharisees. They will ask him, why don't they walk according to the word? But why they don't walk according to the tradition of the elders? But eat bread from washing hands. He answered and said unto them, well, had Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites? As it is written, the people honored me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So Israel has fallen so much. And Simeon was sad. So he was looking for the consolation. And they knew the consolation was when the Messiah would come. That is why in Acts chapter 1 verse 6, they believed Jesus was the Messiah. They believed he fulfilled the work of the Messiah. And when they were therefore come, they asked him, Lord, would thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? When are we going to get rid of this Romans? When are we going to be our own nation? When are we going to have our own flag again? They were asking of the Lord. So Simeon was sad, but he was looking forward to a day, hallelujah, when he will be consoled. And you know what his consolation was? When the promised word of the hour was made manifest, when the promised word of his day became flesh, when the promised word of his generation, he saw that word. So let's go back to Luke chapter 2. Hallelujah. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. The same was a just and devout man. He didn't follow the traditions of the denominations, but he was waiting. He knew Israel has lost something. Hallelujah. He knew Israel has lost something. They've lost that high pedestal. They've lost that shine on them, where the glory of God went before them. They've lost the power of God in the church. He, oh, Simeon knew they have lost something. But God being God, the prophet said in the message, the masterpiece, say, being God, he cannot be defeated. Our God can never be defeated, because he has promised his word that I will restore. Oh, Ezekiel saw the valley of dry bones. God said, will this live again? He said, God, you know it. He said, prophesy. And those valley of dry bones was going to live again. He spoke through Hosea. After 3 days, I have scattered. But after 3 days, I will restore. So the true child of God, the true seed of God, they knew that one day God was going to restore. God was going to bring back. Oh, hallelujah. And Simeon was looking for that day. He wasn't looking at the big high priest. He wasn't looking at the chief priest. He wasn't looking at the big churches. Or how they pride themselves. They even drew the attention of Jesus. Look at how beautiful the temple is. You know, we took 46 years to build this magnificent edifice. Yes, people will travel all over the world to go and see the temple in Jerusalem. It was even a tourist attraction. And even the disciples were taken aback. So in Matthew 24, they say, look at this beautiful church. Jesus said, you know, there's a day coming when all will be raised to the ground. Oh, hallelujah. They knew, the true believer knew that there was coming a day when God was going to restore. And Simeon knew, because the Holy Ghost has told him, you are not going to see them until you have seen the consolation of Israel. And you have beheld the consolation of Israel. And like we said that Friday, when he went to church, hallelujah, let's go on. Hallelujah. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see Christ, he should not see them before he has seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, oh Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. If you are a true child of God, death is nothing to you. It's only the gateway to the land beyond the glory. Oh, you can scream and say, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Because he has overcome it for us. When he died on the cross of Calvary, we were in him. We were his loins. So when he overcame death, we also overcame death. Praise the name of the Lord. According to thy word. Hallelujah. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. That consolation I am waiting for. That word has been fulfilled. I am handling the word now. I can touch the word now. I can see what was a prophecy that 3 years ago it was a prophecy. But today, but this day, I can see the word of God fulfilled in this hour. That is what struck my heart when I had read Malachi 4 and I took God Elise's book, because Malachi 4 said, I will send you Elijah the prophet, but I didn't know who Elijah the prophet was. You see, God fulfills his word by bringing it to pass. When he said, let there be light, he didn't need any man to explain what light is. But when he said, let there be light, like came. Whatever he spoke, that thing came to pass. God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. So he said, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send you Elijah the prophet. That was the promise of God. I know most of you, how you jump from one church to another, how you move from one Christian fellowship to the other, because you felt there was something missing. You felt there was something lacking. Oh, your heart was desiring for something. Something deeper in God's word. Because you read the Bible and you go to church and you see the Bible is not being lived. And we're wondering, where can I find the Bible being lived? Oh, the deep was calling. He needed a deep to respond. Hallelujah. Simeon's deep was responding. He saw the consolation and said, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. For my eyes, what you told me, your way has been fulfilled. That was his consolation. When he saw the word of God being fulfilled in the day that he was living in, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Now let's come to our day. We've spoken a lot about Israel. The prophet said in the message, believers doubt this. The tape number is 500115. The prophet said, when Israel was called out, a type of the church, Israel always typed the church. Israel always typed the church. Hallelujah. So when the believers were steeped in denominationalism, in bondage, Christ the deliverer came, just like Moses the deliverer, and took them out of all the isms. Took them out of all Judaism. Took them out of all of that. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came down. And God established his church. And the church at Pentecost is the standard for every Bible-believing church. Hallelujah. The power of God was in that church. The Holy Ghost was in that church. Hallelujah. Look, when Ananias and Sapphira, when they sold the light, it was so dear. It wasn't because they didn't bring the money to church. It was because they lied. Because they lived a hypocritical life. That is what the Holy Ghost was not pleased with. And if you are here, my brother, my sister, don't live a life of hypocrisy. The power of God was in the church. And if you read Acts of the Apostles, people could not just join them. Hallelujah. They have to hear the word. They have to repent and be baptized by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But not long after the Pentecostal days, the church started looking around like Israel. Let me read this quote from the Seventh Church Age book, from the Ephesians Church Age, what Brother Abraham said concerning Revelation chapter 2 verse 4. Revelation 2 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Israel had left their first love. And that was why they were in those doldrums. That was why they were so low. That was why the power of God could not be seen amongst them. And when the church started, it was on fire for God. But when people started coming in, oh, they came in with lots. It was not total separation. Make sure you are totally separated. That your heart is circumcised from all the things of the world. To understand this, you must realize that the Spirit is not speaking to the original sense of Ephesus alone. This message is to the entire age, which lasted about 120 years. This message then is to all the generations that's past. Don't leave your first love. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So I often like asking the 7-day people, what are the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ? I like asking the 7-day Adventist people, what are the commandments of Jesus Christ? Because they always tell you about the 10 commandments and how you have to revere the Sabbath. But say, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So can you tell me the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you cannot tell me, and you are not keeping his commandments, then you don't love Jesus. And then they'll start to wrestle with that. If you love me, keep my commandments. His commandment is his word. It's just not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10. But all of his word. History keeps repeating itself. In the generation of Israel, we see revival in one generation, only to see the fires fading in the next. In the third generation, the embers be glowing slightly. In the fourth, there will be no vesture whatsoever of the original flame. Then God lights the fire again, and the same process is repeated. It's simply the manifestation of the truth that God has no grandchildren. Salvation is not passed on by natural birth anymore than there's any truth to apostolic succession. It's not in the word. You start out with truly born again believers, and then the next generation comes along, and they are no longer just plain Christians, but they have taken a denominational name. So they are now Baptists, Methodists, etc. That is exactly what they are. They are not Christians. You have to be born of the will of God, not of the will of man, to be saved. But these folks are all coming together now by the will of man. I don't say that some of them aren't right with God, but for a minute, not for a minute, I say that. But the original fire has died down. They are not the same anymore. The fervent desire to please God, the passion to know his word, the cry for reaching out in the spirit, all begins to fade. And instead of the church being on fire with the fire of God, it has cooled off and it has become a bit former. Hallelujah. So we see that all through the seven church ages, in the official church age, they left the first love. And all down the ages, the church begin to drift. The church begin to drift. Until we get to the Laodicean age. Hallelujah. And the church have drifted so much. Until Revelation chapter 3, reading from verse 14. Hallelujah. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, this is the aim. It is this age that he revealed himself as an aim. Amen means finality. Amen means the end of it all. Hallelujah. This is the aim, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spill thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich. Today people think that because they are rich, God has blessed them. I differ with that. Be rich, say, blessed are the poor in spirit. Hallelujah. You see yourself as needing more of God. God's blessing is not measured by material things. I say God's blessing is not measured by material things. The love of God in your life is when you can see and recognize that He has predestinated election. That is the epitome of God's love. That He chose you. That he commended His love towards you. Not when you try to be good, but while you were yet a sinner, that He still loved you. That He reached out to you. Like Adam, He had to make a conscious decision. The Bible says Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. Adam knew what has happened to Eve. Adam had to make a conscious decision. This is bone of my bone. This is flesh of my flesh. I am not going to lose any part of me. So he went, he took the side of Eve. He did not disown her. But in that, we see the glory of God. That when we fell, God will have created a new world. A new heavens and earth. But Christ made a conscious decision. I want to go to Calvary. I want to walk that way. I want to walk that narrow way because I need to redeem my wife. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Today, they say I am rich. Increase with goods. Have need of nothing. That is the church. When Christ said, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He has to borrow a donkey to sit on. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. Hallelujah. But today, hallelujah. Don't measure God's blessings in your life by the material things you have. Those things will pass away. Those things will pass away. But the love of God in your heart, it will remain forever. But that is the church today. That is Laodicea today. We have need of nothing. But this was God's diagnosis. But you don't know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Hallelujah. That was the state of the church. And it made the true believer sad. You were one. Is this what Christ came to die for? Remember the vision that Abraham had? Hallelujah. Amen. When he saw the bride, and he saw the first bride come, and then after that the other bride was coming, and how they were dressed, and Abraham said, oh God, is this what my ministry has produced? All the toil, is it what he has produced? But then he heard again another batch coming at the end, singing onward Christian soldiers. And when he saw that group, he was consoled. Hallelujah. Because he knew that his toil has not been in vain. Amen and amen. He said, I will restore all the years that the canker went, the palmer went, the caterpillar, the locust, all the years that they have eaten, I will restore. So even though we didn't know where to go, when you see the world, the churches in the mess, there was still something in your heart that God can do something. God will do something. And when I saw Malachi 4, and I read it, and I read what he says, that in June 1933, when the prophet was baptizing the people, after the revival meeting, and then the pillar of fire came from the sky, and everybody was screaming, and people were running helter-skelter because they've not witnessed that before. And the voice spoke, as John the Baptist was sent to around my first coming, so are you sent with a message to around my second coming. That must be the consolation of the bride. Hallelujah. That will not forever be denominated. Oh, hallelujah. Christ has brought in liberty. So God sent forth the prophet with the signs and wonders. And like I said last Friday, the signs and wonders, hallelujah, they were just the gong God was beating. Because the king has a message to draw the attention of the people. And when all the attention of people were being drawn, the prophet came with a message, because he had a vision that shook him on December 22nd, hallelujah, 1962. A vision that shook him. He said he was numbed. Even after the vision had left him for hours, he thought he was going to die. But God gave him a clue in that vision, because little Joseph was there. And it occurred to him, if the blast will have killed me, it will have killed little Joseph also. He said, it's not your death, but it's your new ministry. A week later, he came to church and preached a message. Hallelujah. On December 29th, 1962, says, is this the sign of it? The consolation that we have been waiting for. Hallelujah. We see the whole world is messed up. We see the church world is messed up. We see the denominational world is messed up. But he promised in Acts chapter 3. Let's read from verse 19. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 3 verse 9. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus, which was preached before you, unto you. Remember, at this time, Christ has been caught up. But Peter was saying, there's going to come a time of refreshing. And when that time of refreshing comes, he's going to send Jesus, which was before preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive. When they stood, hallelujah, on the day Jesus was taken up, they saw him being taken, and the heaven received him. And Peter is saying, whom the heaven must receive, until, so there come a time when the heavens can no longer receive him. But now the heavens must receive him, until the times of restitution, the times of restoration, not some of the things, but of all things. So how can you tell me the thunders are not revealed? When there will be restoration of all things, which things? The things that God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets from Adam until now. So today we can understand the serpent seed. We can understand all those mysteries. Because this is the restoration time. And that is why a believer must rejoice. Because the full word of God, the promised word of God, for this our day, has been restored. He says, is this the sign? See, I've seen a vision. And if the vision is scriptural, it can only be interpreted by the scripture. And that day, the scripture the prophet read was Revelation 10. 1-7. Hallelujah. If the vision is scripture, it can only be interpreted by the scripture. And the scripture he read was Revelation 10. So the question he was asking the church, let me put it this way. Is this the time for the mighty angel to descend from heaven clothed in the cloud with the little book open? That book of redemption that was sealed. He even made John sad. John cried. But it was so, John, don't cry. Because the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. On the cross of Calvary, he paid the price of redemption. But in this our day, he is coming to claim his redeemed possession. Hallelujah! So he descended with the book open. Hallelujah! And John saw what was in the book. Hallelujah! He started reading it out. He said, hold the job. Because he has been told, whatever you hear, whatever you see, write it. So don't tell me John didn't hear the thunder. I know John is a type of the bride. Hallelujah. John had it. He knew what they were. His joy came back. His joy came back. So all heaven heard me crying and rejoicing. Hallelujah. All heaven was singing. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord. All heaven were rejoicing. Because the consolation, the promised word, the word that was lost, that was making the believer sad, the word that was lost, that was making us be at our low end. Church, that word has been restored. The bride of Christ today has received the consolation. That which was lost, that which was missing, has been restored in this day. Oh, hallelujah. You love the Lord? Glory to God. Has been restored in this our day. How blessed you must be. So at certain times, I sit down and I think. When I was at the Scripture Union Symposium, and they said William Branham is false, a lot of people heard the same statements. And at times I asked myself, why me, Lord? And I had friends who were my classmates. They heard the same statement. We are all executives in the Scripture Union. And they took it, hook and sink. That William Branham is false. But Lord, why me? Why did you just kick my heart? To not just take that statement, but to say that, Lord, I need to go and find out. Lord, why me? But that is the grace of God. That is the grace of God. And maybe at the time you heard the message, there were a lot of people around you. But somehow it was only you. Somehow it was only you. Praise the name of God. Tonight I want to preach on where the carcass is. The eagles will be gathered. It was only you. Hallelujah. That heard the message. The others heard noise. They heard noise. But you heard your name being called. So when you were going this way, oh, you heard Isaac. And you stopped. And you turn around. He said, my son, come. My son, come. And you are here this morning. You are here today. We ought to be grateful to the Lord. The bride was sad. But the bride can no longer be sad. Ruth can no longer be sad because Boaz is in the land. Oh, hallelujah. I say Ruth can no longer be served. He cannot curse his Gentile heritage. He cannot look back to his Gentile heritage. Because there's Boaz in the land that is ready to redeem. There's Boaz in the land that is able, that is willing, that has got the wealth. He was willing to calm down, to calm down to our state, to calm down to our level, that we might be redeemed. Oh, redeem, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What a time we are living in. So be consoled, my sister. Be consoled, my brother. Because the full word has been restored. That which was lost through the dark ages, that which was lost through the denominational ages. Remember, we are not in the denominational ages. We are not in Laodicea. We are in the age of the bride, right at the top of the pyramid. We have climbed the seven stairs, and now we are in the king's chamber. Invincible union of the bride with the groom. Don't you love the Lord? Be consoled, my brother. Come back to the way. That is what Paul told the Thessalonians. He said, wherefore, comfort yourself with these words. We want to comfort ourselves today, because the word has been restored. Shall we rise to our feet? Redeem, how I love to proclaim it. Redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Want to sing that song? The song leader will help us. Let me read this quote from the message, "The seed is not air with the shock." From paragraph
100.
"But when the seed was delivered, it said," talking about Christ, "I come to do the will of him that sent me. I and my Father are one. If I do not his works, believe me not." There was the seed. "Which one of you can condemn me of unbelief? What the Bible has promised I will do, I done it. God has verified that through me. He said, who can tell me now? See? But the seed in Mary, the shock, it was close to being that, but it wasn't. The shock was in the seed." That was the prophecy. It was still in the womb. Notice, and in the Pentecostal age, through the Lutheran age, through the Wesley age, it has been the same through the Pentecostal age. Notice now, but at the opening of the seven seals, Revelation 10, the four went. The four went. The four went. Is born into manifestation again and vindicated by the Spirit of God in the full strength as it was when he was here on earth, manifested the same way, doing the same things that it did when it was here on earth. Amen. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In St. Luke 17:30, Jesus said, "In the last days, as it was in the days of Sodom, when the Son of Man will be revealing himself, it will be the same thing." The full word of God has been born. Just like Christ was born, and it brought consolation to Simeon. The full word of God has been born again, has been restored in this our day. So bride of Christ, be ye consoled. Shall we bow down our heads? Our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for your word. What a day that we are living in, when men are groping in darkness, yet there's a light that has lightened our path. When men are running to and fro, and there's hunger for food, spiritual food in season, yet Lord, we've got a storehouse that you are feeding your bride. Oh, we bless your name. We thank you for what you have done in this our day. Not because of any good thing in us, but before the foundation of the world, you saw us as part of your economy. And so God, in your own good time, you have called us unto yourself. Heavenly Father, we pray to you, God, that Simeon became consoled when he saw the word of God made manifest. Lord, no matter the challenge we go through, no matter the trying times we go through, no matter the mountains that we have to climb, no matter the valleys that we find ourselves in, no matter the Red Sea that comes across our path, no matter the walls of Jericho, Lord, may we be consoled that Jehovah God is in our camp. Lord, let us feel the rustling in the mulberry trees. And to know that, Lord, your move is on once again.
Oh God.
And nothing is going to hold your move back.
Hey.
We thank you, Lord.
Wow.
We bless your name.
Wow.
Thank you for these broken pieces of your word. My prayer is that may you take it, Lord, and bless the heart of your children. May you take this word, Lord, and encourage a brother,
hey,
encourage a sister, encourage a child of God to know that the word has been restored. And as your bride, we ought to be consoled,
hey,
because we have heard the voice of the groom.
Hey.
We bless your name.
Thank you.
Bless us this day. and watch over us until we meet again at your feet this evening. For this our prayer with all faith and thanksgiving, even in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 God richly bless you all. Please, you may take your seat.
God bless you. We, the preachers, used to enjoy double when they sit and they are hearing.
Because
we know the value of it. We know the weight of it. When we are listening to it, it's rich. Very rich. Very delicious. Very delicious. Yes. I was almost praying that the time should not be fast. Slow down. Yeah. So that we can enjoy it more. It just looked like about 15 minutes to me now. That's the way I feel in my body. The prophet said I'm a great eater of spiritual things. I fall in that category. I can eat it long. No sleep, even near my place. The more it goes, the more stronger I become. Oh, it's wonderful. God bless you, Bryce. That was special dish, man. That was special dish. Aiko, sir. God bless you. That was great. We want to thank Pastor Mukoro. Even though you came for introduction,
as
you have decided to be in fellowship with us, at least, and God made the way that the Sunday school was available. And you just summarized maybe 2 hours sermon in 30 minutes. Maybe the next time opportunity comes, you will see you make it more elaborate.
Because
maybe some of us are not good in summary. Maybe you score A1 in summary in school. All of us will not be at the same level. God bless you. You enjoy the Sunday school. God bless you. God bless you, brother. Saved. God bless you,
Richly.
Saved.
Yes.
I'm hearing somebody behind that name for the first time. I'd like to call it well. Brother saved.
Saved.
That's wonderful. God bless you. God bless you.
S-A-V-E-D. Saved.
Saved.
Yeah.
Past tense, concluded. Saved. God bless you, my brother. Shalom, God bless you. Yeah, we'll see more for ourselves some other time. Mama Ruth, God bless you for coming. Yeah. They won't be in the next service because they have to go for the location they came for. We are with you in the spirit. God bless you richly. We wish you success. And when you'll be traveling back to God, Johnny messes back too. God bless you richly. We'll be sitting down 2 o'clock.
For
the last service. The minister will go and rest immediately so that he can He can come and he'll be refreshed and then come for the last dose. Taking the pulpit again by 3 o'clock. We expect another time of refreshing.
915.